This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Round 5 was Gather Round, and it has come and gone. It was also a return to Best 22. And with it, we got some bigger scores for some of our players, but some of us still inevitably were left disappointed. It's time for the ball, boys. Let's go!
Butch has done it from nowhere.
G'day and welcome again to the Ball Boys AFL Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Casey, and you can find me on Twitter at Ball Boys Fantasy. And I am joined by the number one ranked coach in this room and on the podcast, Luke, coach of the Oxlongs. How are you, mate?
I'm really good, mate. And I've increased my lead by like 1,000%.
Yeah, I mean, you were up by 1 point.
Yeah.
So
I think my math checks out.
Yeah, makes sense.
Hey.
I'm flying, mate.
But small margins at this time of year.
It is. It is still a very, very tight competition.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had our first taste of Best 22. And look, I'll get out of the way. I thought I was going to have a disaster of a round. I was throwing the toys out. But my rank still moved up, which was very surprised to see.
So what are you sitting at now?
So I'm sitting at 3,053, which is up about 2,500 spots, or a little bit more than that, with a score of 2,092. And like I said, I thought I was having a much worse round than what my rank suggests. I thought I was actually going to slide from my 5.8K last week. But moving up, so all said and done. Can't complain too much. What about you?
So, for context there, we are separated by 19 points, I think it is, and we're separated by almost 600 ranks. So,
yeah.
So I'm 2,421 with a score of 2,110. It just shows that at this time of year, if you're not super happy with where your rank's at the moment, you can't quite throw the baby out just yet because there's still a lot to play out.
I think, the competition is still very tight. I still feel like, I don't know about you, Luke, but I still feel like I'm very much playing rookie roulette. I don't know if it's just this year or I've got memory loss or something like that, but it feels like by now I would have thought I'd had a good handle on some of the rookies, but I still feel like you can be on the wrong side or the right side of rookie roulette. You know, the captains we'll talk about, I'm sure, at some point during this episode is a big deal.
I just want to play all my defender rookies in other positions.
Yeah. Well, we might be able to do a little bit more of that with a bit of DPP, which we'll get to soon. But let's hand out some awards for some special and not so special players that played this round in the Sponge and Camel Awards of the week.
Get it.
He can't not do it. We got a jewel. Oh, sorry. No, not for this award. For the next award. The Camel Award.
So you can say we have Jewel Humper.
Jewel Humper. He might be a Jewel Humper because he's hurt me twice in weird ways. But this week, TDK gets the Camel Award because 75 against the Weagles just won't cut it, Luke. And the reason I think that epitomizes his camel behavior this past weekend was the walking around, hands on hips. I know it was hot, but it doesn't matter. You've got other players out there thriving. Your teammate Sam Walsh is going 120 plus.
Yeah, he was doing a bit of the Rory Led, wasn't he? Did not like the heat, needed to get the pickle juice into him. It was cramping everywhere, and it was not good on that front, but it was not a contested game where we were seeing a lot of stoppages for TDK to get to work, and it just everything. Yeah,
he did not look like he was enjoying himself out there. And I understand the game didn't suit him, but he definitely didn't help himself by, just walking around hands on hips. So very camel-like behavior. He wasn't he wasn't adapting to the game and playing and getting his stats. He was just kind of coasting along in a win that they had comfortably, which we don't want on our fantasy sides, Luke. But let's maybe flip and go to some positive. And this is where, like I mentioned before, we're going to have dual award winners for this week because a couple of spongy behaviours on the weekend.
Who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
SpongeBob SquarePants!
Absorbent and yellow and porous is he?
All right, do you want to kick off with the first one here on the list there?
Yeah, well, for the keen-eyed observer, and Mitch and I weren't because we faded this game on the weekends. To put our weekends into context, we have a finite number of games every weekend that we're allowed to watch to stay out of the doghouse. So we need to strategically
select. We spend enough time on fantasy as it is through podcasts and videos and all this sort of stuff, and then we're going to watch the footy. So, you know.
We need to make some strategic selections. So we missed this, but we were alerted by a guy who does not miss fantasy relevant games, and that is my old man. He was all over it, and he noticed some spongy behaviour from one Sam Davidson in the goal square. So anyone watching this game will have seen that when, I can't recall who it was, had a shot for goal from about 50 metres. The ball was travelling through, no dramas, and then Davidson was just there for a little bit of kung fu fighting on the line to just pop it in. So
literally did not need to do it at all.
Plus nine out of nowhere, and he probably needed it, to be honest, because he only gave us a 50-odd this week.
So he ended 57. He had one goal, and like I said, that one goal could have absolutely not happened at all.
That's very spongy.
Literally, kicked it centimetres away from the line as the ball sailing through. I wonder what his teammates felt about that.
Yeah, it's not going to endear him to his teammates.
The other award win on this one here, I've got to give it to the Wang because he was a thirsty boy on the weekend. Their team got done pretty hard in, but the specific act twice on the weekend. Now, his career-high goals in a game before was one goal. He'd only ever keeps one goal, a maximum of one goal in a game. He had three goals on the weekend, two of which were those sneaky little, I call them the Jaden Shores. You run behind the guy who's got the mark, about the 50-meter mark. You run behind, get the little handball, and bang, kick the goal when no one's watching. He did that twice. He actually attempted a third, so I think he kicked something like three goals too or something like that, and the third one was one of those attempts where just a little Jaden Short kick from behind the handball receive. So that's very very sponge like behavior, although the role maybe is a little bit concerning, but at least on the weekend he made the most of it.
Beautiful. Should we move into our next segment?
Yeah, let's surmise the weekend with all the best on grounds and the flogs.
And the winner of the Norm Smith Medal.
You're an embarrassment to what you do, mate. You're an embarrassment.
All right.
We started the weekend on Thursday night with the Crows taking on Geelong.
And my boy Max Holmes, he gets the best on ground for this one, for redeeming himself after a poor game the week before, getting tagged, 67. He comes out, pops his career high, 133, averaging 100 since I said to bring him in.
He looks good.
Which is fine.
He looks very good.
Any tackles, we love to see that.
I've given the flog, this is a low-hanging fruit, but I've given the flog to late outs again from Geelong.
Well, Geelong,
I know Tom Stewart had the shits, but it gave us all the shits, so.
Yeah, and you cry wolf every week. You know, eventually we're not going to believe you.
I can't believe you, Donji Vindaloo.
Collingwood versus Sydney. Well, you've written down your spicy take here. So the best on ground goes to Dacos. But what was your best on ground for spicy take?
My spicy take was that Riley Bice would follow up his big 125 with a 94, and I got it bang on.
94, you said?
That's exactly what I said. Run the tape back.
I think you said back-to-back tons.
Pretty
look, I'll give it to you.
We're pretty liberal.
It's pretty close. It's pretty close. His spice takes have been on this year.
Not bad, eh?
Yeah, not too bad. So, see what you have to give us on Friday. But
the flog in this one goes to James Jordan. Now, normally, if I gave it to a tagger, it would be for tagging one of our players to a poor score.
Mm.
In this case, it's for not tagging.
Now we're going to pay a bit more.
Correct. We were expecting the cash to just maybe trickle down a little bit more, get him in the mid 900,000s, feel really good about it. Now, I checked today, we're paying more than a mil.
We're paying more than a mil. Everyone's going to do it. And yeah, it feels like.
Come on, James. Tag harder.
Tag harder. I mean,
we don't ask much.
We watched maybe half of this game, and he was tagging him, attempting to at least, right?
Yeah, it was the first quarter. It looked hard. I don't know whether they went away with it later, but just Harder for longer, thanks, James.
Yeah, yeah. It's a bit interesting because he normally is a really good tagger. So Nick Dacos just too good. North Melbourne versus the Suns, best on ground. Jai Simpkin just keeps getting it done.
He does, man. And, he keeps getting done. We got so many forward options now. What's going on?
I keep resisting it, but at some point, maybe we've got to cave and you know, get this guy in as a serious trade target. The problem is now he's very expensive, but yeah, just keeps getting it going. 110, highest score of the game, 2 goals. Yeah,
would have been an elite starting pick. The flog for this one is Tristan Sherry. It may perhaps a little harsh to give the flog to somebody who's clearly managing an injury, but I think the flog is more around the uncertainty that coaches are experiencing at the moment. It's like, is he injured? Is he not injured? Is he going to play? Is he not going to play? Why am I holding a guy that's giving me 70s and how long is that going to last? So I'm very fortunate not to be an owner at this stage, but feel for owners.
Yeah, 100%. He is he's not getting it done at the moment, averaging 89 AFL fantasy points, which well under what you would have paid. Carlton versus West Coast, best on ground. We'll give it to one of our rookie downgrade options for this week, and that is not Gross, but Tom Gross, because his score, you know, is far from gross. He looks like at least he's yeah, cemented himself in the West Coast team there and getting some good praise from the coach and looks like a player.
Yeah, he's definitely given us an option. He didn't take a backward step on the weekend either. I thought he looked tough. Flog, TDK.
TDK.
And you.
Yeah, I'm going to give it to myself here for two reasons. Number one, jumping at shadows. I captained him. I had the opportunity to vice-captain him and go into Brayshaw, which was my original plan. But I got spooked by the Boyd, so that's a flog move by me. Also, the flog move by me was flipping on the Friday. On the Thursday, when I released the big boys, so all our Patreons, I had Brayshaw at number one. Come Friday, I flipped them around. I went Brayshaw to number two, TDK to number one, which meant that my captaincy did go to TDK here instead of the Brayshaw with just the straight C. So I just overthought it.
Not having a reliable loops cost you some points this year. I saw you were angry tweeting again. Was it yesterday?
Yes.
This morning?
And I want to talk about that a bit later, but we'll save it for another segment.
We'll get there. Okay, next game was the Doggies taking on the Lions. I'm going to give the bog to Riley Sanders. This is rubbing the salt in the wounds for you a little bit, but he is just...
Why are you giving it to this man?
He is holding on, mate. He's just holding on. I'm not just going to give it to the highest scoring player every week. That's boring. I'm going to give it to Riley Sanders, who... I've been forced to hold now for a couple of weeks, and it hasn't been the worst thing in the world. So he's hanging on by the skin of his teeth, and we love it. You can do the flog, mate.
Fraser Crane sucks. Got to go. Just he's a genuine flog of a fantasy player.
Thank you. Next,
let's move on.
Melbourne and Essendon. The bog is Zach Reed. Once again, not to the high scoring player, but death taxes and our rookie defenders scoring 90s this week.
Yeah,
Bice Reed Trainer. It's happy days.
Yeah, it is happy days back there.
Field them all, baby.
Do you reckon could it be a case of...
I'm upgrading elsewhere.
A bit of a fool's gold, potentially.
Oh, of course. Of course there's the chance there, but...
It was a nice matchup against Melbourne, we will say that. The flog, we're going to go to Melbourne.
Particularly
also,
with how they've handled Christian Petrarca.
Yeah.
This is the thing for me, is the CBAs were up in this game, and I think... Again, without watching this one, it was mostly CBAs towards the back half of the game. Mm-hmm. But I like the score. I like the roll a bit better this week. But there's still just that uncertainty. They haven't handled him in a really consistent way this year. I still think he could be a good upgrade target for us this week.
I think the positive thing there is that Melbourne suck. And so whatever they've been doing
is not positive for Melbourne fans.
Not working. It's not working. So something's got to change.
Get him back in there. You can't play him forward to the ball and then never get the ball to him.
Yeah, exactly.
Get him in there. 100%. Well.
He's one of the best players in the competition. So I think you're wasting a trick there. Richmond versus Frio. Best on ground. Andy Brayshaw. How about the tackling machine on this man?
Well, we presented the little flag of obviously his stats this year and the fact that his mark numbers are down and his tackle numbers are up and whether that's a sustainable thing. Well, he came out and said, don't worry about it, boys. I'll give you 10 tackles on the weekend. But the marks were still down.
Still two marks. And one of the marks was on the very, very final siren.
I think this
is
a storyline. I think there's still something to this. I'm just going to keep riding the good matchups. But I think this could be something that we're still talking about in a few weeks' time.
Yeah, potentially something maybe at his early... it is mid-season bye. Maybe there's another option we can jump to. But... Flog for this one?
Yeah, flog, and this one's Camden. A little bit of attention there for Caleb Sarong, and Caleb Sarong was a popular trade-in target this week. And
the thing that frustrates me is that the flip-floppy nature of when Richmond wants to do this. Like, where was this the week before? Hey. Against any of Brisbane's mids.
They pick and choose.
Where was this?
It could even depend
in other matchups against Port Adelaide. Like, Connor Rosie tore you to shreds.
Yeah, and they flip and flop.
And so now all of a sudden you decide, okay, we're going to do it this week. What? Why? Why?
I'm telling
why
you,
change?
It could just depend on what color headband Camden McIntosh is wearing.
Was Lawler missing time? Anything to do with this? I mean, he's not even been high in the middle anyway.
I don't think so. Reading too much into it.
Yeah. St. Kilda versus GWS, best on ground. My boy, Tom Green, especially his last quarter, just gets it done. Had low time on ground in this one, didn't matter. Just got it done. Tackles, marks.
Yeah.
We'd love to see it. So, yeah. Lowest disposal game so far this season.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, one offer per account.
Trading shouldn't have barriers. When Robinhood started, it was built to make trading more accessible. Now, Robinhood offers more sophisticated trading tools. Experience the future of trading on Robinhood Legend, the all-new desktop platform that harnesses intuitive design to deliver a seamless experience for traders. Free to use with a Robinhood account. Robinhood Legend is designed for how you trade, with powerful charts including custom intervals down to the tick and over 80 indicators and drawing tools. Trade all of your favorite assets, including popular stocks and ETFs, all in one place. Take your trading to the next level by customizing your layout in seconds and even enter and exit positions in one tap right from the chart with up to 8 charts per layout. The future of trading is fast, powerful, and precise. Experience it now on Robinhood Legend. Sign up today. Investing is risky. Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC, is a registered broker-dealer. Other fees may apply.
But still got the 108, which we love.
If there was any player for Marcus Windhager to glove in this one, it's probably Jack McRae, given that every single person owns him. So it wouldn't hurt your rank too much. But just let our players score points. It's not hard.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless you...
Nick Daigles.
Yeah, let's Daigles. In which case, flip that.
If we make up the rules as we go along. Port Adelaide versus Hawthorne. Connor Rosie and his new position gets the best on ground here because, look, I didn't see this coming at all. I think about half an hour before the game, someone tweeted out to say he was going to spend a bit of time off halfback. I thought that's a bit weird, and I didn't think I would like it. But, hey, if you're going to still kick a couple of goals and he's still got his tackles, and
he looked good.
Those are really good things for someone who's playing a halfback. We'll see how it goes in the end, but... So far, so good for Connor Rosie.
I think it's just another string to his and Port Adelaide's bow. Ken Hinckley came out and said, hey, we lost a decent half-backer in Dan Houston at the end of last year, so why not try something a little bit different? They've got a reasonable midfield there. So I think it won't be something we see every week, but I don't mind it if they've got an extra thing. My flog in this one is just a fizzle to end the round. We had what was billed as the big grudge match and a bit of argy-bargy, and Port just walked all over the Hawks.
Just sucked. That's their first loss of the season. So
I don't normally tune into Sunday night footy, but I was keen to see if this one amounted to something, and it did not.
Hawthorn just, straight... lost it there. Let's talk about some strategy chat. And the first thing we've got to talk about here in the strategy part of the episode is, of course, the new DPP, dual position players. There are, I think it's a record number of DPPs being added, 70 new players with different positions added in this round. I want to focus on a few of the maybe key ones. And there is, we'll talk about the flexibility and stuff like that later, but talking mostly sort of premiums and upgrade targets. So the main ones we're really worried about are people who are adding defense, adding forward. So in defense, a couple of names that we sort of knew were coming, but it's still good to have them confirmed now. Rory Laird and Josh Dacos, I think, are two players that could potentially feature as upgrade targets either now or later. They have been added into defender status. Any of those guys, if you had to pick between the two, is it Rory Laird? Is it Josh Dacos? Do you have a preference of the two or thoughts on either of them?
Dacos had a bit of a stinker on the weekend. But up until then, I think I would have said Dacos. The other thing too is that Collingwood are just about to come into a slightly friendlier little patch.
They've had a hard run.
Yeah, so I actually think this one could be one that Takes us a little bit by surprise because he's been serviceable without being fantastic over the first 5 weeks. But he's had GWS, he's had Port Adelaide, he's had Carlton and then Sydney on the back. So he goes into Lions, Essendon, who are probably worth talking about, but Essendon have been a really easy matchup, Geelong and then Fremantle after that. So I think Josh Dacos, I'm not picking him to be a top six defender, but I think he's going to go close enough.
Yeah, I agree. I think he can still be good. The poor score on the weekend will hopefully means he comes down in price a little bit further. So I don't necessarily think he's heaps of value right now, but I think he'll be good. And I think Roulette will be solid as well. He also had a subbed out game, I think, 2 weeks ago, which kind of drops his score. That's really his only poor one. A couple of low tons and a couple of 80s outside of that. So, yeah, I think he's another one who can be sort of a mid-90s sort of a player, which is, you know, not top six, but there or thereabouts. Yep. The real interesting ones, I think, are the forwards. And we've got a number of new forward options. I think the biggest name, clearly, is Christian Petrarca, adding forward status. Also, you have Nick Martin, who's got the forward defender status, which is a nice one to have. And Chad Warner, also getting forward mid-DPP. Do you think any of these three forwards have any immediate value, and should any of them be targets this week, as early as this week?
Let's talk about Christian Petrarca first. I think that there's even a host of people that went a week early in anticipation of this, and with perhaps his first really good-looking matchup on the weekend. Like I said, based on the stats that I saw, I'm impressed. If he's in a role where he's getting that many CBAs each week, then I think that he can be more like what we've seen of Christian Petrarca in the past. And to me, that's at least, I'm going to say at least 10 points of unders at what he's currently priced at. So I'm very interested this week, and he falls into that category that's a little bit cheaper than some of the other options. So it's also going to depend who we want to kind of downgrade, which is something I want to talk to you about in a little bit as well.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on the tractor?
I think he is the player that of the three, I think has the earliest, like the value right now. I could almost see all three of them like settling into a similar type of an average. I'm probably most confident in Petrarca being that guy who's right up there. I think his role is probably, I think he scores good in any role. Now, he scores better, obviously, as a midfielder, but I think his floor is probably the highest of all of them. Would you agree with that?
The only bit I'd dispute is that scores good in any role when Melbourne are doing so poorly. So I think when Melbourne are up and about and he plays forward, then he's able to save some scores. But I think the way Melbourne are looking this year, I would be picking him.
Melbourne, like they haven't won a game. It can't get worse,
no,
right?
I think it is kind of flatline. There'll be games they win, I think, like no doubt. But I don't see where it's going to come from. I mean, that being said, what the Hawks started last year horrendously, and then they went on a run. But
they've got a nice fixture coming up. They have Fremantle, Richmond, West Coast. Okay. Going Richmond into West Coast in a two-game stretch is as good as it gets.
And so this is a reason why I think Petrarca is an option this week, because you're looking at, okay, a lot happens in fantasy over the course of 3 weeks. So you're locking in a three-week trade. You're obviously hoping that you keep this guy to the buys, but in 3 weeks' time, we could be sitting here talking about some completely different stuff to what we're thinking
now. Oh, 100%.
So this I think, is not a bad option. Can I use this as a little segue, or maybe a...
Yeah.
Off on a tangent a little bit, but given he's so much cheaper than, let's say, a Dacos or a Nick Martin, how does your trade out this week influence who you get in? Because I've had an early look at my team, and in order to get in a Dacos and, let's say, trade in like a Gross or something like that, I'm going to have to trade down what I would consider to be like a more of a premium rookie, someone like a Davidson who's currently on field for me. So is Petrarca good enough to take that haircut on like a Dacos and trade out a rookie that you don't see as much value in?
So this is where you got to try and marry up the two of like your trade outs and your trade ins. Christian Petrarca currently is priced at 90. Nick Dacos is currently priced at 103.5. Okay, so now no one's going to dispute the fact that we think Dacos is going to average more. Now, obviously, you have to pay more to get him in. It's what you expect them to average from this point on that is really the determining factor here. So, for example, if you think that Dacos from this point can go 110 and Petrarca is still probably going to be that sort of low 90s guy, then Dacos is the answer, and I'd probably be okay moving out a better rookie to make that happen. If you think that maybe they're both present a bit of upside, like Petrarca's price at 90, there's a world where, like, I mean, he's averaged 105, 108 before, not too long ago. Even if he goes, like, if he goes 95 and you think Dacos goes 108, it's a very similar level of upside. And if the difference is that you're getting a better rookie to stay on your field, then I would trade out the worst rookie to get in a player that you think has a similar amount of upside. Because especially if you're trading out a player on your field down to a downgrade, you're potentially losing out points on there. So that kind of cuts into the upside you are getting from the better player being Dacos.
The only thing I will say on that is that a lot of us at the moment are playing rookie roulette anyway. So the rookies on our field are slightly changing week to week. And we might be running like a Hall on the bench, whereas he's on occasion scored better than a Davidson.
Seem like a downgrade on the surface might actually not be.
This might be a dirty old Moz, but I can't see Christian Petrarca going less than 100 over the next 3 weeks.
I agree with you.
So, and it could even be better than that. So obviously you mentioned the 3-game run. Then he goes into Hawthorn, Lions, Sydney, St Kilda, Collingwood, Port to his bye. So it's less fruitful. Does that scare you going in for a 3-game run, knowing that this is a guy you probably are going to hold to his bye anyway?
I don't think it scares me based on his price. I think price at 90, he goes into those, like, say, I mean, realistically, over the next 3 weeks, like, is there an argument he averages 110 over those next three weeks?
Well, I didn't want to say it, but you have put the moss on it. I went in with, like, a little tentative moss.
He goes 110, and then the next three after that, he goes 80. You know, like, then, okay, he's averaging, what does that average out to, Luke?
I don't know.
95. Like, that's still solid.
I don't think it's better than Dacos. I'd be hoping that his floor is higher in those remaining games. So I'm thinking of a world where he goes 110 in the next three, and then he goes 95. Yeah, that's where my head's at.
I think I feel pretty safe to say that he is very much in the mix of the top six forwards. I mean, it's Christian Petrarca. Like,
it's hard.
I know it's a name and all that sort of stuff, but this is a very, very good player. And this is not a player who's 35 years old. Like, they're going to make some changes. Like, surely Melbourne can't sit on their hands right now and just go, yep, what we're doing is, it's like that meme, you know, where the dog in the house and everything's on fire and this is fine.
That's Melbourne. That's
goody. Melbourne right now. Like, they have to do something different. And one of the most obvious levers they can pull is fucking get Christian Petrarca in there for 80% of the CBAs, keep him in the middle. Let's actually get some representation of some forward attacking footy.
Thought you were going somewhere with a lever joke there. Pulled the levers. Lever was going to come into Jake it somehow, Levers. But no, he didn't quite get in there.
Completely off my radar.
Not like Dewar. he's firmly on it.
He's on there. So no, but I think.
Nick Martin?
So I think
Martin?
He's still top six.
What about Nick Martin, Chad Warner? Then give them a bit of airtime.
Nick Martin is expensive.
So he's.
I don't know what his role is. He's a very unique type of player. He still plays 95% TOG, which is obviously a fucking awesome thing. I have not watched a lot of Essendon games so far this year, but from what I've seen and heat maps and commentary, it looks like he's not playing that defensive role and maybe still more on a wing. And obviously has got enough forward time to be a forward eligible player. So
is he the quintessential guy that feasts on a dirty matchup? Like he is that guy.
He is. And so, Essendon chip it around.
Listen to
when they're in control.
They do. Yeah. Listen to four of his next six. He's got West Coast, Collingwood, Bulldogs, Richmond, all as part of his next six. Throw North Melbourne in there, but they've been a little bit tougher to score
against. I tell you, it's nice.
And it's not like, so let's say he's playing the wing role. Yeah, we don't typically love that, but he does what he needs to do to get Pill. He kicks goals. Like, four out of the next six are good. This guy priced at, what, 101, 102?
101.
It's definitely a polished move. I think at the moment he's sitting at, like, 5% ownership. But
this is where you do have to... You've got to compare him to someone like Nick Dacos.
Yeah.
Because he's a very similar price.
Yeah, and we just mentioned that Collingwood are coming into a slightly better run as well, and I'd probably go on the safety of Dacos in that instance.
Yeah, I think you kind of have to do that because, he's just more expensive. than some of those other players. Like, he's $100,000 more than Christian Petrarca. Yes, he might average a little bit more, but you'd have to have that happen, and there's just more downside, I think, with that. Chad Warner's an interesting one because he's actually the cheapest of the lot. Where do you sit with him? Because he is someone who, 871,000, he's had a big game already this year. I think he had like a 129 in round two against Frio. Immediately followed up with a 41 subbed out against North.
Yeah, that was just a management thing. But to me, he's...
Is that concerning though? And I don't think that was like 41 and 59% time on ground. Like, he was having a shit game.
Yeah, it wasn't amazing.
And they flogged North as well. So he's almost the opposite. He cruises. He's a bit of the horny boy Francis about him.
Don't talk to me about horny boy.
He likes it rough.
You don't know horny boy, mate. me and horny boy go way back.
He was calling for his head at quarter time.
Get your name out of his mouth. Go wash your mouth out. Chad Warner is, I think, more impact over scoring. Mm-hmm. And then just...
I mean, he's always been a bit that way, but he's averaged 90s the last two seasons.
The long and short of it is that...
He plays for Richmond.
Yes. I knew you were going to get it.
And long plays at Collingwood.
I paused it up. have a look at Chad Warner's next three games. Do you want to trade him in for his next three games? You tell me, Mitch, because I don't want to trade him in. And we've got better options.
Chad. Ooh, so. A bit of Port.
Poor Gold Coast.
Gold Coast is good.
Not
as much
Gold
as this
Coast
year.
I don't think is good. No.
Yeah. Yeah. No, so probably fair.
You're not. So don't do it.
No, okay. So I think in order of, you know, how much we enjoy them, we've got Petrarca, Martin, Chad.
Well, if it's about enjoyment, I'm going horny boy at the
top.
No,
he wasn't on the list.
Oh, sorry. We're talking about...
And you don't enjoy it. Don't tell me you enjoy it.
I love rolling the roller coaster. Riding it. I love riding it. Roller coaster. DPPs, of course, there's premiums that we want to target, but one of the just joyous things about opening your team up...
This is almost the best part about this time of year.
...is flexibility. I feel like a Russian gymnast this morning when I open my laptop because I could be flexible in ways that I didn't know. I had my ankles above my head this morning. Oh. I was... What's going on in your team? You've been able to get a bit
I've traded out two defenders and I brought in two mids this week so far.
It doesn't happen. That never happens.
It just feels so good. I can get rid of these duds like Frazier, go to someone good like Dacos, and just all this sort of great stuff.
Your team is sorted.
So your players like Angus Hasty could finally do something good in my team.
Stoney Boy,
you can flick him to defense. You can flick someone like Levi Ashcroft into the forward line.
Oh, just flick him around for fun.
Just, I mean, for the fuck of it, you could put in SDK into your ruck line. And,
do it.
You know,
just do it.
Just get rid of his brother and put the real Deconing in there. Just because. So we got plenty of flexibility. I think it is going to make trading a lot easier for getting, like you said, getting out the players that we want to get out and not selling, not having restrictions on the position limit us to what we can do.
Yeah. So for example, I mean, a lot of people are going to be all over this, but for example, someone like Connor Stone, who in my case has been sitting in my forward line and SDK is a backman, I want to move off SDK this week.
Go to Petrarca.
Correct. I'm just going to send SDK down as part of the trade, send Stoney up to Philly's place, and then just trade in a forward as I wish.
That's beautiful trading right there.
That's stuff you want to look to do.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I think, does this change, like, in terms of our rookies, like, our structure? Like, are we moving someone like an Ashcroft into the forward line to make room for some players in there or anything like that, or not just yet?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think, like, let's be honest, I think most people are running with Davidson, who we're still pretty happy, I think, to have on the field 2 weeks
He's
removed
doing all
right. from a 125. And for a lot of people, he'll be the one rookie that you're running there as well. So I don't think there's any benefit. The midfield to me is where... We might have a depth of rookies, but I don't think we have a depth of reliable, good scoring.
It feels like it's a bit of a roller coaster right there.
So, for me, I'm going to be looking to hopefully maximise Bicey and Reedy and Trainer on field in defence and then just sort out these midfield rookies.
Yeah, fair enough. Let's talk about some of those. Oh, no, before we do, let's chop some players because this is...
You want to chop?
I need to get some of these guys out of my fucking team.
Let me find you a
graphic.
Because
they are driving me nuts. Kung
Fu fighting. Oh, unison if ever I've seen it.
Fast as lightning.
the Davidson kicks.
Joel Frazier.
Oh.
Should have gone last week. And if you weren't kicked in the balls like I was, taking bullets with Will Day.
You're so hard done by, Matt. You know what I've always said?
He should have gone last year.
I've always said that you're hard done by.
Yeah, no. What's the opposite of being kissed? I don't know.
Just punched right in the face. Punched in the kisser.
Yeah. That's what I am. And then SDK. Both these boys need to go. The other thing about SDK, okay, we saw the Rucks come in.
Yeah.
They got a win, which is obviously good for them. They also play Monday.
Ooh.
And we won't know the Monday squads until Sunday afternoon, Luke.
Goodness gracious me.
Geelong, with that much leeway in team selection, is just a disaster. So I'm pretty keen to get both those players. They are both going for me. I'm training them both before any rookies because they are going backwards in cash. Their role has changed in SDKs, and Freya was just a bad, bad trade. I am annoyed at myself for getting sucked in to that one after the round one, after I was not a fan in the preseason. But anyway, they both had to go. The other...
Can I talk... Before you move to the next dot point, can I... So I want to talk about a couple of other names. So, like Riley Sanders, for instance. Riley Sanders, like I said, he's hanging on by the skin of his teeth, and he has been good in the last couple, but he's defying a poor role. Like, we've known that now, you know, since the start of the season. He's not in the role that we were hoping that he's going to be in. Is there an argument to say that with these guys, let's call it a Hollands, let's call it a Sanders, you know, obviously Peatling looks like he's going to be suspended this week. Even though maybe, you know, the first two of those guys have given us decent scores, should we still be looking to get off because the role's not there?
The mode kind of shifts a little bit, I think, into what's the biggest upgrade from a points perspective you can make. And this is where it was sort of, you know, a couple of weeks ago, it was sort of like trade him out while you can because you're going to get stuck with him because he is producing. He is giving you 80s, 90s. So him averaging, what is he actually averaging? 77.
He was Jekyll and Hyde on the weekend, but he had a 60-point first half and then it was like a 14-point second half. So he kind of showed what you could get week to week.
So if he's giving you 75 every week, 75 to 80, that compared to some of, like, to get a top six forward, max you're looking at a 20-point upgrade. Whereas if you can get a rookie up to someone, even if they're like a step away, like a rookie who's averaging 60, 65 to someone who's averaging something similar, 90, 95, like you're making an extra 10 points on a trade, 15 points on a trade in that kind of a scenario. So just from a few points on field perspective, it does feel like he falls behind the rookie upgrades now. Because we start to get now to the point where the rookies have made enough cash. There are some players around out there that have come down on enough cash that you can sort of jump on them, new ZPPs and stuff like that. So,
what about people that are still running an Ollie Holland? So he's now added defender status and he's had two decent weeks. He's obviously played West Coast on the weekend. Could you obviously shift him into the back line, trade in a midfielder? Would you be trading him before you traded like
why
a Vice or Reed?
Why has he bounced back? He had 10 marks on the weekend. Now that game was as open as anything I've ever seen.
Yeah, and that's the pure reason. Like, if you have a look, what did he score in mid-80s?
83.
And some of those marks that he was getting there, you looked at it and thought, he's never getting that against a decent opposition. They were falling into his lap. So I think that 85 is probably closer to a 60 against North better Melbourne opposition.
North Melbourne this week?
I think they're as easy as we think. So it's one of those very hard psychologically to trade out a guy that's coming off the back of a decent score, especially when you guys got guys that have put up stinkers, but...
It is. Look, I feel more like he's a trade out than someone like a Sanders, especially given, I mean, now he's got defenders. But then again, our rookies in defense are putting up better scores than him.
Yeah,
so,
and they're making more money.
So, North Melbourne are actually a slightly orange team in terms of matchups for defenders. Against Geelong, slightly green team, and then Adelaide, a slightly orange team as well. So, yeah, not great matchups coming up. So, yeah, okay. I'd tick that one off, but...
Who else you got on your chopping block then?
Well, it's all about the rookies now. So, if you can make... This is the perfect trade here, Luke.
Yeah, please. Tell me the perfect trade.
The perfect trade is if you can turn two red dot rookies into a new green dot rookie and a premium.
Gee whizzikers.
That is the perfect trade. Now,
unbelievable.
A lot of the time we cannot do that, but if you've banked a lot of cash, for example, and you can do that, getting a new rookie in that's going to generate cash, getting a premium that's going to give you some score, you can do that. If you can even do one red dot rookie down to a green rookie and another maybe like fat and cash cow up to a premium, that's another awesome trade. But I would still try and prioritize getting the premium in that I'm looking for, even if it means getting rid of like a, let's call it someone like a Max Hall, instead of, you know, someone who's a red dot like Campriale, who it looks like he's just going to be stuck on my side for a while now, essentially. So
just to extend this out a little bit, yep. Am I right in saying this doesn't extend to guys like Levi Ashcroft?
And no, I mean, so I'd still be wanting to keep Levi. Yeah. I'd be trying to hold on to those rookies in defense and Trainer and Reed and Bice. Like, you're not trading those guys.
Yeah.
But anyone outside of those, like even a Davidson, you know, Hugo Garcia, I don't know what to do with him. He goes 60, 20, 110, 40, 80. Like, what the fuck? How can I expect anything out of this guy?
I don't think I'd trade Lawler either. Break even at 13 coming off at...
He had a good game.
90. Yeah. I think you can ride that a little bit more.
Yeah, but like some of these guys, like if we just name, yeah, Davidson, Hall, Garcia, some of these sort of players, Moraes, yeah, I don't know.
The break-even's creeping up.
Break-even's creeping up a little bit. You know, some of these other players, you can track prior. You can trade these guys if the money on their head is enough to get you to the guy that you want. And it's the difference between maybe getting rid of, you know, a Campriale or any of these other red dots that we might start to accumulate potentially in the next few weeks. I would still prioritize the upgrade. But if you can do it with a red dot, even better.
Okay, beautiful. And then the last, I mean, you've talked about red dot rookies. We've talked a little bit about those fattened rookies. But the last category you've got on the chopping block is...
Premium rucks.
Oh my goodness.
Where are they?
What's going on?
There is two rucks in the competition at the moment, averaging more than 100. Can you name who they are?
I'm going to say one is Darcy Cameron.
Yes.
The other is... Im English?
No, it's TDK. Yeah, TDK, Tom DeConey.
True, of course.
Even though he had a sucky last round, he's still averaging 105.
Wishful thinking from me, perhaps.
But yeah, Darcy Cameron, who would have thought? I mean, some people did think, to be fair. Yeah. So he was a name in the preseason.
Brighter minds than us.
Yeah, smarter minds than us. But he seems to make the good pick. But Tim English and Max Gorn, I think, are the next ones there, averaging 97 both. But...
So who are you going to chop? I mean, Sherry's the one, isn't it? It's Big X.
So Sherry's the one. And the other one, potentially, and I'm not actually seriously considering this, but with a couple of injuries to Carlton, Mark Pittnat has every chance to come back into the side this week.
When do we find
out? I think they play Friday, so we'll find out very early.
Okay.
I know that because I looked at my loops and I still can't fucking use Lucas Campriale to loop anything.
You suck, man.
Oh, man, this guy is a waste of space. But Pittnat has every chance to come in because you've got Harry Mackay. He's concussed this round. He's not coming back in. Brody Kemp did his Achilles. It looked bad at the time. And yeah, I think that's season over for him. So he's another tallish forward option for them. So
we all know that Pitt is not playing exclusively forward.
No,
either.
He's not playing forward, but potentially TDK might need to fill that void. At least for a week. My question to you is, like... Do you imagine this is like a one-week thing that they just maybe might pull, or like what's the goal? I also don't know if he's played a game yet, and so maybe they want to give him a run in the VFL first, Pittnat, that is.
This is super interesting, I think, because this is one of those ones where you go like, oh, okay, well, he hasn't done really too much bad to this point. We'll hold him for a week and see if this is a flash in the pan. And then next week comes around and Pittnett's selected again. And then you go, oh, now, you know, maybe I just stick fat.
He's also got Tristan Sherry this week in a matchup.
So, look, it's Monday, but I'm going to say I'm interested to see how the week pans out.
Yeah, look, I would have to think you're in a seriously luxurious position to make that sort of a trade. Yeah. I don't think I'd be looking to make it myself. Every chance is a one-week thing while they've got concussed Mackay there. Then he comes back next week and Pittnat straight back out of the side.
And who are you going to with confidence?
Exactly.
As well?
That's the other point.
Okay, Max scored well on the weekend, but previously.
Yeah, you're going with Darcy Cameron, who's now up to 1.24 million.
Do you want
to
entertain the Briggs thing? Probably not. So, yeah, it's tough. You may as well stick fat.
Yeah, I mean, the Briggs thing you could have a look at. He's under 800K now.
Yeah,
but
so his cash gen's about to turn around.
Yeah, who's he got this week? Adelaide. See, that's a tough matchup as well. But then he goes against the Bulldogs, Sydney. So after that, it gets a bit better. You might be able to wait a week and see if Pitnet's back the week after. So I'm giving it a week. Cross my fingers. I mean, it might be a moot point. Maybe Pitnet's not back. We're just speculating at this point. But Tristan Sherry.
Yeah, this is
what's the go?
Of course, I'm not an owner, so in a way, I'm happy. But this is so frustrating for people that own him, because if this is just something that North Melbourne have decided, oh well, we need a ruckman, so we're just going to kind of manage him through this, and he's going to keep playing, but he needs to rest. This could just be 70s for all of eternity. Like,
so the time on ground has dropped since that round 2 game. So he played round 1, 83% TOG, round 2, 85% TOG, then 76, 79, 76.
These are worrying numbers. You might have to put an X through him.
And the touches are down. Weirdly enough, the free kicks are up in less time on ground. He's managing to give away for more free kicks in less time. He's just a step off the pace right now.
Yeah, it's...
The troubling part is, okay, we've identified he's not 100%.
Yeah.
But how, because anyone who doesn't have him, you're looking at him and going, when he does come good and when he does get healthy.
Yeah, we're ready for
him. He is going to be massively, massively undervalued.
And so this is why I think.
And a huge target. Like, I think he's already, like, he's priced at 101. Like, if he starts to turn it around anytime soon, like, he's going to be 10, 15 points of value already.
I think both, like, owners and non-owners would just like North Melbourne to come out and say, hey, this is it. He's going to miss a couple of weeks. We're going to get it right. He's going to come back fit and firing. And then there's some certainty around it, because then you're forced into making a choice. And I'm really hoping that coincides with him coming back in round 10, because he goes Richmond, Collingwood, West Coast, Fremantle with the bye in between, which I like the sound of. I might get him in.
Yeah. The Richmond matchup is always obviously a positive. I always am hesitant to say you can trade these kind of guys, because Rowan Marshall has done it twice to me, where I said, yep, you can trade Rowan Marshall, comes out and scores a 150. I think you can trade Tristan Sherry.
But
him to Briggs.
How much cash you make from that?
You're making 200K, I think, or if not a little more.
So Sherry's...
Yeah, you're making 200K, and I have every reason to believe that Briggs will outscore him now, at least while he's injured.
So
look, if you'd done it a couple of weeks ago, it would have been way better. But the troubling thing is he can turn around and go, yep, I'm healthy now, whack, here's a 120 on your head. So there's obviously some risk there, but he genuinely just isn't right.
Am I right in saying you want to, A, make sure that you've got all your rookie stuff sorted first, and B, make sure that you can get a good upgrade on the other end of it? Is that
this is sort of the scenario where, okay, you need that 200K to make a good upgrade. Maybe you're happy with all the rookies you've got right now. You don't have any sort of those red dots or something like that you can make a trade and upgrade with. Maybe you don't have a Frazier or an SDK sitting there. You've already been ahead of the game. So it's a very luxurious position again, but it doesn't get much easier. I mean, he versus Carlton, which is a better ruck matchup. Port Adelaide have been a very tough matchup for rucks ever since going with a Jordan Sweet as a solo ruck. I will say Essendon, with now Nick Bryan going down with his knee injury, they might be a bit easier than before, unless they do bring in a second ruck like Goldstein, who's still somehow on their list.
Got that goalie drive-by. Yeah, Gorney went well on the weekend. Can you hide behind the high ownership with Sherry?
You can, but it's also a way to differentiate yourself.
Yeah. Briggs is not going to give you ceiling scores, so... But at the moment, not many rucks are giving us consistent ceiling scores.
No.
So...
It's an interesting one. It's a hard position to be in. I don't envy anyone who has him in their side, but yeah, I think he's clearly hampered. What about some trade-in targets? Let's talk about some players that bring it into our side. Let's start with the rooks. I want you to split three different rookies for me, because I'm having a tough time here. Tom Gross.
Yeah.
Caden Cleary. And Saad El-Hooley. All of them have the mid status, but you've got a mid only in Gross, mid forward in Caden Cleary, and a mid defender in Saad El-Hooley. Do you have an opinion going one way or the other?
Caden Cleary's not DPP. He's just a forward.
Oh, is he just straightforward? Okay, yeah. Sorry. He's just straightforward.
But he's Cleary. He's not even. I just kind of wanted to work it in there, but muffed it. What I said there about him being just a forward, I think counts against him just slightly, for me anyway, just based on the players that I'm probably looking to trade out. Even though Cleary had the good score on the weekend, I kind of have this feeling that Gross is just going to be in West Coast side indefinitely until he and I don't even think there's a world where he can prove otherwise, because West Coast are that bad. So they've just dropped Tim Kelly.
Yeah.
Are they going to drop the up and coming, you know, rookie who showed a bit of fight and a bit of ticker and a bit of fucking how you going on the weekend? Like, I wouldn't have thought so.
Yeah.
I would have thought Minnie would have loved what he saw from him. So it maybe goes against the scoring that happened right on the weekend. But I think I've got Grouse Gross at the top of the list.
So I think there's also a couple of players coming back in for Sydney as well. I want to say that Justin McInerney, he was suspended for the last weekend and he's going to come back in. So there's one player coming back. I don't think... So Callum Mills might be 1 to 2 weeks away. So for him coming back, looking at the injury list here, it still looks like Papley is a while away. Did Harry Cunningham play on the weekend? He's someone that was listed as a test, but I'm not sure if this is last week's. Did he... Looks like he wasn't there. So he's someone that's gonna come into the side this week if he was a test last week. So I just, like you, I feel a bit more secure with Gross's job security than Cleary's. Little bit cheaper. Just kind of gets me over the line there.
El Hooley goes into West Coast Collingwood.
He does have a good
run. He's obviously got that same run that we were talking about with
So he was the sub before, and so. Came on early when Brian went down. Is he safe from the sub now? Like, how many games or performances do you want to see before?
It's hard when a player's been the sub at least a couple of times, and then you start
I said, West Coast is a rookie's dream.
I've got this theory as well that a coach, especially when they're looking at the red vest, so if they're uninjured through the game, you're more likely, I think, to sub out a guy that's already been in the vest, because maybe there's like a little bit of an underlying, he's kind of expecting that, or he's a rookie, or you know what I mean? Maybe there's just like, oh, well, we're not sure. Yeah, we've dragged him a couple of times before, so he can fuck off again. So I'm going to say Gross is Grouse.
Mm.
But then I probably still go Cleary. The forward-only status is a little bit annoying to me.
Do you think, is there a world where you could say, if you're going to put any on field, you'd go Saad because you expect him to score the best this week against West Coast?
So you're gonna play the matchup game.
Because I might be in that situation because...
But you're not trading in multiple of these guys.
No, I'm trading in one.
Yeah, so you're going to...
But I might be putting one of them week. Being on field and then get the other guy next week. I know, like, for example, there's a bit of a break-even difference, but it's like 10 points in terms of break-even difference. Is that maybe worth having a better on-field option?
But you're going to pay more over the long term because Gross is more expensive than El Hooley at the moment, isn't he?
Yeah, but do you think they could go up a similar amount? Like, I'll have more cash in the bank left over going the cheaper option.
They could well. I just think he's more of a vest risk.
Because I'm also not sure about, like, a player like Christian Moraes, who 2 weeks ago I was saying was a rookie you can't miss, and then he's gone and averaged basically 48 in the last 2 weeks. I don't know if I want that to be on my M8 position, whereas, you know, do I want a Gross or a Cleary or El Hooley on that position?
The answer is that it's rookie roulette and we can't pick it week to week. Even with the...
Give me an answer, Luke!
But even when you look at a good matchup or you look at a poor matchup, you think, oh, okay, well, I can predict this. You can't. You go back and have a look at the big rookie scores over the past 5 weeks, and some of them come against matchups that we thought, you know, were going to be tough. So the answer is just try and get all these guys off field as soon as you possibly can.
I will say, you know, Tom Gross has gone 62-72 against GWS and Carlton. Not two easy matchups.
Goes into
so Essendon's an easier matchup than those two.
He might be like horny. He might like it. Maybe like it tough.
A bit tough. So yeah, I think as a general rule, I'd probably say Gross number one. Those other two, maybe pick your poison.
What about Carlton rookies? Excuse my blowout. What about those Carlton rookies?
Who was the guy that debuted on the weekend? White? Is that... No, Carroll.
White went all right, but it was Carroll that...
Carroll caught your eye.
Looked all right. I mean, the thing with it is West Coast.
Versus West. That was what I was going to say.
Yeah, and this is... So if Holly Hollands goes 80, and what did Carroll go?
68.
Yeah.
And we got 69 from... Will White, who also went 45 the week before against Collingwood.
Will White, I think, is more of a key type, forward type
okay.
as well. So I think that kind of takes him out of the equation.
Yeah, I think I would
could
just
you see
take,
another week of Carroll?
I think you could. I think the other three I'd have ahead.
Yeah.
Just because I'm skeptical on the scores because they were versing West Coast and it was a uncontested game for the ages. Let's talk about some upgrade targets. Now, everyone's going to be talking about Nick Daicos.
Of course.
I know it didn't work. I think rightfully so, we're worried about last week's tag.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, just because he went big...
I don't think...
Like, if you traded him in last week, you're absolutely laughing because you're a week ahead of everyone else.
Yeah.
But I still think the process of waiting, avoiding that potential tag was the right process.
I think with those definite tags, those ones that we've seen, like we've literally seen that player consistently tag and we've literally seen him consistently tag Nick Daicos.
Yes.
So, I think the logic on that one is there.
Is it just as obvious as saying, okay, he's had his tag game and he went 136 in it. He's now priced at 103 or something like that. It's Nick fucking Daicos.
Going into a decent four-game stretch.
Decent run. I mean, I wouldn't say it's like... the Hawthorn run coming up, but he's got, Brisbane Lions where I don't expect them to tag him. Nope. Essendon, they are a bit hit and miss on the tag, but have been easy to score up against this year. Geelong, tag sometimes don't. Fremantle don't. Adelaide don't, but they're also tough. North have done sometimes. Hawthorn have done definitely sometimes. So it's not as though it's all sunshine and rainbows.
Yeah, I know. The tough thing is the way it's going to start this year, you could go through, and I reckon you could say three quarters of the teams in the AFL have
that way now,
either tagged at some point or even this year. So it does become hard, but I think undisputed, Nick Daicos is underpriced.
Yeah, he is.
And he's an underpriced guy that we've seen can have an enormous ceiling. So I think he fits the bill this week.
I think he does as well, but I'm not sure because I know he's going to be probably the most traded in upgrade target the highest week. Everyone on the podcast is going to be talking about him, and rightfully so. It's Nick Daicos. I'm just not sure it's as a slam dunk of a pick as maybe it seems on the surface. So I would at least consider these other options. One of the options I would still be considering, I've talked about it in the last 2 weeks, but I still think Tom Green is a very, very decent option. Coming up against Adelaide and Western Bulldogs in his next two. And the fact that he is maybe second in line for a tag, Callahan's copping some of the attention. I think it's just the cherry on top. He's looking really, really well. Only gone under 100 once so far this season, and that was against Hawthorn, and it was only a 91. He's someone that is super unique, and I think is a option other than Daicos that you could be looking at.
What's he priced at the moment?
So their priced at figure, his is 105.
Okay.
And Nick Daicos is 103.5. So, look, he's starting to creep up a little bit, but...
What do you expect him to go to his buy?
To his buy, I think he's a 110 player.
To his buy, okay,
yeah,
some good matchups there, but there's also some tougher ones. I think.
Yeah, he goes sort of ups and downs. He does have Richmond in there, he does have Port in there, Geelong, Frio, Sydney. So yeah, a bit of a mixed bag in terms of matchups. He has the last buy round, and this is where you can start to use buy rounds to play things out. So Nick Daicos, he's got the round 14 buy. I don't think there's a lot of round 14 buy players going on in our midfield. If I turn on my buys, like he's the only one there. There's probably not a lot of round 16 unless you've got maybe some of the Brisbane players. So maybe that can be a line-splitting call. But I think those would be my two top mids that I'd be looking to target at this week. Then I'd be potentially looking at some of the forwards.
Okay.
Now, Christian Petrarca, we talked about before. What about your boy, the horny boy?
Has he bottomed out? Is that what you're asking
me? By price he has, but are we confident enough now to trade into him?
No. Well, I'm an owner, so I'm forced to have him. But you maybe gave everyone a peek behind the curtain. I was spitting chips at quarter time last night.
What, you have 8 points at the first quarter?
All I needed was, I think it was 62 points to win my matchup this week.
Yep.
And by the time quarter time rolled around, I'd given up thoughts of tons and 125s. I just, please let me win my matchup.
Yeah,
please let this man go to 62 or whatever the fuck it was. And I felt a lot better going at halftime when he had almost a 50-point second quarter. But this is the roller coaster that you ride when you pick a pick that you didn't endorse all preseason.
Is Connor Rosie going to halfback a positive thing?
I don't think that. I think that would be reading into it too much. Zach Butters has come into their midfield.
I think it can be a positive thing because it coincides with Butters coming back. So you're removing a player that was taking a lot of points. And I know he still will, but it's sort of like a different slice of the pie. And you're adding in a player that could potentially take off the tag attention.
I also don't think Connor Rosie will play halfback every week.
Yeah, maybe not. I'm not convinced, but I think that could be reading into it.
There's still I'm going to give it like, there's still an 85-90% chance that Horne Francis is a top six forward. I think.
What do you think the average is for the rest of the season?
I hope 150.
Because he's actually still cheaper than Christian Petrarca. Like, who averages more?
Yeah, these.
I think that's a harder question than it appears in the service.
These are good questions, Mitch. Yeah, look, I'm going to sit on the fence. I don't have an answer to that one. I think Horne Francis probably over the course of the season. If Petrarca plays in midfield, I think Petrarca.
Yes.
If Petrarca ends up spending time forward again for whatever reason, then maybe it could be Horne Francis.
Petrarca's a better scorer. Horne Francis, you would say, has the better role.
He's like a more consistent scorer because Horne Francis on his day will score with the best of them. But Melbourne could have a new coach in a couple of weeks, so you never know what happens.
They could, and then maybe it's Petrarca time. I would also just split the hairs by saying Christian Petrarca has a better immediate run in the next three. So if you were picking between the two, you didn't have either, I'd be trading in Petrarca. But I do think Horne Francis is someone definitely to have on the radar.
Who else you got?
Who else have I got? Maybe not this week, but someone to flag. And I don't think he's going to get much discussion, but Isaac Heaney is getting very cheap. He's going down in cash. He is priced at $936,000. Which is about 95, I want to say. So, yeah, he's priced at 96.
What's going on with Isaac Heaney?
He's just having a pretty ordinary season so far.
This happens, I think, sometimes to players who we pick as forward eligible picks the year before.
Yeah.
Then they become mid only. They go off our radar. They have the so-so season and we just don't give them too much attention.
Now, you mentioned before their run coming up for the Sydney Swans. We talked about Chad earlier that it's not the best run coming up. So, Port Adelaide, Gold Coast and GWS in his next three. So it might not be someone we're looking at this week, but definitely I want to put him on the radar and just, you know, write his name down in your little black book and, you know, maybe set your sights on him in a week or two's time to maybe have a cheap upgrade in midfield, because let's not forget how good this guy was last year.
Amazing.
And I don't think that just changes overnight. I know they've got a different coach, but I still think that he is someone that is definitely a premium midfielder. And if he gets cheap enough, I think you can definitely look at him. Some couple of like cheaper guys in Tim Taranto, and I'm going to throw Tom Stewart back on there as well.
Don't do it to everyone.
But I don't think you can do it with the Monday.
Nah.
Like, you're waiting on the Monday, the teams come out on the Sunday.
Horrific, wouldn't it?
But he's still, obviously, he was cheap last week. We were talking about him as an option.
Yeah.
And he's the same price.
With the DPPs dropping, I think that there's better options and you can just...
You're probably not upgrading in the defense this week, I'd say.
He's also got a break even of just over 100. I don't expect him to smash that out of the water. So that there's, yeah.
Tim Taranto, talk to me about him.
Timmy T. Well, I was tossing up... Who was I talking? I was tossing up Petrarca, Taranto and Chera.
Yeah.
This week, and you recommended Taranto, which at halftime in the Richmond game was looking like a good immediate decision, but he kind of slowed down a little bit. But all three of those guys kind of scored within 10 points of each other, so it might take a few more weeks to see that play out. The first half did fill me with a little bit more confidence to say, hey, that's the Tim Taranto we know. You didn't notice him, but then you check the score and he's on 64 or something.
That's exactly how he goes.
That is exactly how he goes. You'd be like, oh, fuck, okay, Taranto scored 60 points.
Yeah.
So I liked the look of that, but that being said, I think Petrarca is a better option this week.
I think he's an option. I think Petrarca has less upside, but more like he's a top six.
Yeah,
in the forward line.
I don't think there'll be too many teams that have both Petrarca and Dacos, and I think that both of those guys this week are better options.
I would agree. Yeah. But at least, yeah, again, on the radar.
Yep,
And I think you can definitely have a. Do the radar thing again. Yes, I think you can definitely have a look at them. I'm sure there's some other players, but those are the guys that sort of caught my eye when going through. Look, if you told me that Tristan Sherry was tip-top and the hamstring was a thing of the past, like, he is value. But you can't catch that falling knife. It is too early. I want to see something turn around first. But any other one that you sort of have been keeping your eye on and sort of some upgrade targets that you're looking at so far?
Why don't we start with George Hewitt?
Fuck, it would have been a great pick.
I was telling you we should have started with him.
You did not. He's been a fucking awesome. Did he score another ton on the weekend?
Yeah, he did. He's still in the ton run.
Is he the only player now?
I think Dunks dropped off.
Yeah, Dunks dropped. He got a 98 or something like that, didn't he?
Yeah.
So he and Bailey Smith, although Bailey Smith missed a game, but he's got 5 tons in a row. Are we disregarding him and disrespecting him? He's averaging 113.
Definitely.
We are
disregarding him and disrespecting him in the same way that we do it to Libba. There's been multiple seasons where you go, nah, not Libba. And then you get halfway through the season and go, fuck, would have been nice to start with Libba.
It would have been nice.
But now I think...
Oh, he's too expensive.
Yeah, you've conceded.
His career high season average is a 98. So he's going 15 points above that.
That's
right,
crazy.
Now.
Hey, he doesn't look like stopping. But I think he... If Carlton play well, I think he actually scores less points. Like, if Carlton play the way that they would ideally want to play, he doesn't feature as heavily as Cripps and Walsh and these kind of guys. Speak of Walsh, 2 back-to-back now, 120-plus games. Is he somebody that we give some airtime to? A little bit more expensive than Dacos?
Yeah, so he's...
Is he back?
Sam Walsh, where is he at? So he's back up price at 106 now, which he can do more than... Well, he could be a 110 guy. I have more confidence in Green and Dacos outperforming them price than I do with Walsh. You've missed the West Coast matchup now. But yes, he could be underpriced.
I reckon some people will point to Jai Newcombe this week as well. So last night he had 118, and being that that's the
hard one.
Well, also being that it coincides with Day not being in the team. And you know how people are looking for where's the bump? Who's going to get the bump? Is it fraught with danger to look at one point of data and say he's going to get the bump? Because Hawthorn's run is ridiculously good. Geelong, Eagles, Richmond, Melbourne. So 4 games there. And also, I don't think Jai Newcombe's a guy that you tag either.
He's not that. He's kind of like a Matty Rao sort of type.
But 3 of those 4 teams normally don't tag anyway. No. So, hey, I mean, he's kind of priced, what would that 947,
be? 947. So it's about 98. 93, 94.
Oh, yeah, that's cheap.
I don't think so. I don't think I've seen him put a sustained run for that period. I mean, it is a very nice run. The Hawthorn mids, I haven't seen any of those players put up consistent scores. Newcombe could be the one. You definitely, of all of them, I'd like to go him. But yeah, not 100% sold on it. I think there's some more proven guys. Like, it's not that much more to go up to a Dacos. Not that much more to go up to a Tom Green.
He's averaging 111 over...
100K to those guys, and I feel much better there.
He's averaging 111 over the last 3 weeks, and 2 of the 3 opponents, GWS and Port Adelaide, and he's averaging 111.
Nah. Okay. Can't do it. I mean, you could do it.
I'm playing devil's advocate.
You could do it. If you want to be spicy, you can go that way.
If
definitely,
you've got big kahunas.
You could definitely do it. I don't think it's for me. And also, you know, not really relevant to what we're talking about now into the future run, but, you know, some people were throwing up, you know, Josh Ward and Cam McKenzie after the injury to Will Day, and seeing if those 44 for Josh Ward and 57 for Cam McKenzie. I just don't know if you can rely on that Hawthorn midfield. At least the players in there now, because I just haven't seen it before. Newcombe, probably the closest one to it. Kenzie had 57 on 23 CBAs. So, yeah, second highest in terms of the midfielders. All right. What am I calling there, Luke?
Done like a dinner.
We are going to be doing an early live show this week. We are going to be having our live show on a Thursday afternoon, because we are going out into the wilderness, you know, potentially never to return, going camping.
Driving up mountains with our phones, trying to get reception to see laid out.
100%. So, yeah, think about me fucking up my VC loophole this past weekend. Imagine what I'm going to do when I'm literally up a creek. So yes, it'll be on Thursday afternoon. We'll confirm the time. It'll probably be a similar time to what we normally do on the 5 o'clock. So potentially before some of the teams drop, but we will be answering all your questions, going through the big boys and... all that good jazz. So stay tuned for that. And if you want an exclusive Q&A podcast to listen to this week, you can sign up at Patreon at patreon.com/ballboys to get all of your questions answered. And we mean all. We sit down for a couple hours every week and go through all the questions, head over there and sign up, as well as a few other awesome benefits. But until next time, we'll see you later. Bye. We'll
this season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.